Did you see Star Wars again? Like, you saw it twice, right?
I've seen it 4 times now.
Okay.
Hmm. I mean, that's... I got to see it at least 5 times, right? Because when I was a kid, I saw episode 1 5 times in the theater, and I figure I got to beat that.
Yeah.
For a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I saw episode 1, like, opening...
Oh, I saw it opening day. Yeah. Even in high school, there was a special thing where I went to a boarding school, and we were able to convince the teachers to, like, take a group of us on opening night, even though it was like a Thursday or something weird.
Oh, wow.
Like that. And somehow we pulled that off, and I'm still to this day not quite sure how we pulled that off. But yep. But the weirdest thing was, yeah, sitting next to me was a girl who'd never seen Star Wars before when we watched episode 1. And that was really weird.
As in, why?
Well, because it was, you know, it was interesting even more than what you would think seeing this one. Like, people know who Luke and Leia and Han are. You know that. It's in the public consciousness. But you might not know who Obi-Wan Kenobi is. You certainly have no idea what, like, the Clone Wars are, or the Emperor Palpatine, or any of that. You don't know any of that. So, like she was just lost. I'm like, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi. And she's like,
Well, it was episode 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it was a good movie to start with.
She's got to be lost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there's a reason why I have not shown my girlfriend episode 1.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, the machete thing. But actually, what I saw it a second time, and what I was when I was going to the bathroom after the movie, and there were some people who had obviously this was their first time seeing it, and they were like, you know, people do that, like they're talking with each other in the bathroom, and somebody brought up something very interesting that I don't think many people have noticed, was that they were talking about Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, you know, is he really Han and Leia's daughter? Because Kylo Ren has black hair, and they have brown hair.
Oh, son, you mean?
Yeah, it's like, is he really, like, their son? It's just like...
I've heard a joke about that it's like, oh, no, it's actually Lando's son.
Oh!
Yeah, that was pretty harsh. I've heard that, though. That was a good joke.
Yeah, but...
I think that was the Rooster Teeth podcast.
Yeah.
Gave me a good laugh.
But, so what's your... So this is the Wayward Podcast, and we talk about ostensibly stuff about Japan, but considering Star Wars came out, and we've both seen it multiple times.
And it's super popular here in Japan.
Oh my god, yes, we'll get into that. But, so what was your overall assessment of the movie?
My overall assessment? You don't want to hear my overall assessment.
Yes, I do.
Do you want to start with the good or the bad? I mean...
Well, yeah, we can get to... Well, our site, oneofus.net, has already had a non-spoiler review where Richard Whittaker, not you, but Richard
what?
Whittaker.
What? I didn't? Oh.
No, but he had a very, very negative assessment of the movie. He was very unhappy with it. I think he gave it like 4 out of 10. So, yeah. So, I've heard, and he does have a very good argument. So, I mean, I'm not... Like, if you have problems with the movie, don't think that's, like, unless it's something very, very, like, unreasonable. Yeah, but anyways, so...
It's not unreasonable, it's just, that's the thing. But maybe we should, let's start with the bad, and then we can move on to what's the good, maybe? Is that a good idea?
Okay, but just to rewind a bit, I'm Toshi.
Oh, yeah, sorry, and I am Richard.
Okay, not Richard Whittaker.
No, not...
not the British guy.
No, I'm decidedly not British.
Okay, so, if you would like to... Give your assessment.
Well, walking into the movie, like, I started watching it, and I will say that on subsequent watches, I've enjoyed it much more than the first time. Mm-hmm. The problem was that the first time I walked in, and I saw the pattern immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, minutes in, I saw the pattern. Bad guy comes into a rebel area, and, oh, look, he's there for... the plans, or the map, you know, this secret information, but the secret information has been hidden away in a droid, so he grabs the person who ostensibly is the droid's owner, and then takes him back to torture him, while the droid on a desert planet wanders off into the desert, only to be found by a starry-eyed youth. Are you getting where I'm coming here?
Yeah.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is a new one.
Pretty much note for note.
It is a New Hope. Yeah. And that's what got me, is I was sitting there and I was like as it went on, I realized, oh no, I have seen this movie. There will be no surprises for me in this film. Oh look, Han Solo is the mentor figure? Mm-hmm. Gee, I wonder what happens to the mentor figure in A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of irks me because it's like you see, it's like the Wizard of Oz, right? Wizard of Oz is the great and powerful Oz, ooh, ah. Mm-hmm. And then you see behind the curtain and suddenly it's not so special anymore.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay, yeah.
And the thing is, this is a lot like Abrams's Star Trek.
Yeah.
What he did, and this isn't, I'm not saying that this is bad, it just, it gets to me. Mm-hmm. It's not bad filmmaking, and it's certainly not bad for him to do it. That's why you hire J.J. Abrams to do exactly what I'm about to say. He basically sat down and made a list, and the list is, what is Star Wars? What do people know about Star Wars? The Millennium Falcon. They know the Millennium Falcon. Han Solo. They know Han Solo. What else? X-Wings. They know X-Wings. The Death Star. They know the Death Star. Little cute droid with stolen plants. They know that. Mm-hmm. And, the tavern, the bar. Got to have the tavern or a bar. What else? Snow Planet. Oh, yep, Snow Planet. Everybody remembers Snow Planet. Lightsaber fight. Got to have lightsaber fight.
Yoda. Everybody knows Yoda.
Yeah. Got to have a force kind of vision or something. And it was basically a list of what do people who are not necessarily fans of Star Wars, but they, at least, what do they know? What can we do to make them feel like part of the group? What can we do to make them go, oh yeah, this is totally Star Wars, I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the best description I've heard of this movie is, this is not a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
This is a soft reboot.
Yeah.
It keeps the timeline and everything, but it's not really about what happens to Han or Leia or Luke, right?
Yeah.
It's a soft reboot. It's like, oh, we're gonna take people and bring them into this universe, and we're going to play on what nostalgia they have to make them really enjoy it.
Hmm.
But to me, I find that a little patronizing.
Hmm.
Is a huge, huge Star Wars fan. One of the ones who read all the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know that's hundreds of books. I am aware. I'm not speaking in euphemism.
Yeah.
I've played the vast majority of the games as well. You know, you get the whole thing. I'm a huge nut. And I really don't mind that they decided not to follow the expanded universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because no average person should be required to read 100 books to understand a movie.
I hear that Disney's done a very good job at making sure those aren't in print anymore.
Oh, no, they are, though.
Oh, okay.
They're still in print, but they now are called Legends, Star Wars Legends. And so, that's my issue with it, is I was hoping for new Star Wars, and what I got was A New Hope. A New Hope is actually my least favorite of the original three Star Wars films.
Hmm.
That's annoying to begin with, but I do think this was much, even though it was A New Hope, it was a much more entertaining version of A New Hope, in my opinion.
Okay.
And yes, on subsequent watches, I enjoy it more and more now that I know what's coming, that I'm not going to get new Star Wars. I'm just going to get old Star Wars with some awesome new characters.
Yeah.
And absolutely. But as far as the plot goes, the plot structure, it is A New Hope. Like, they even had a Death Star trench run, okay?
Yeah.
It's A New Hope. Yeah. And
they didn't specifically call it a Death Star trench run. There was no moment of force, close your eyes, no technology. Right. There wasn't that, but, yeah.
Yep. However, there is a close your eyes and listen to the force moment, just in a lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
That's the downside for me.
Okay.
And that's why I'm so excited that they're not, that Abrams isn't directing the next movie.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah,
because I do think his 2009 Star Trek was the kick in the pants this franchise needed, and maybe this is the kick in the pants that Star Wars needed. But having him do Into Darkness was a huge mistake because he did exactly what he did. He made the checklist. All right, what do we have that's Star Trek that we haven't put in the first movie? Khan. What else?
Klingons.
Klingons. We gotta have Klingons. How about a big, giant, Excelsior-like starship? Yeah, we gotta have that. Earth in Danger. Witty banter.
Yeah, in my opinion of Abrams is that he... one, his mystery box, the mystery box shtick gets on my nerves. When he does it right, it's fine, but he very often does it wrong, in my opinion. Like, the sort of hiding stuff, and like, he gets a little too coy with the hiding the information. But in the case of episode 7, I did not want the information.
So yeah, nobody wanted it.
Yeah, which made me very glad of it. But like, for stuff like Star Trek, when he was like, pretty much everyone...
Oh, flat-out lying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's not Khan. It's totally not Khan.
And
no one believed him. Like, yeah. Everyone's like...
It's Khan, isn't it? It's Khan.
Yeah, it's Khan.
And then it's like, yeah, you were a fucking liar sort of thing. And that kind of... felt a little.
Oh, that's still my favorite part in the movie because it's so stupid. was the when Khan says his name in, yes. Into darkness,
yeah.
And like they react like, oh, Khan, when they should react, oh, nice to meet you, Khan. I'm Jim Kirk. Why would he have any reason to act like?
Yeah, the only one who has any reason is Spock, the old Spock.
Yeah, right. The old Spock would know, but like, remember, like the original, the Space Seed. It's not like they're like. Oh, Khan, Noonien, and Song, oh no.
Yeah.
It's not until he tries to take over the ship that they have to, you know, deal with him. It's not... So like, it should have been the exact same reaction. Like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And it's like, oh, your friends are being held hostage? Oh, we should get on that. Like, yeah. There should have been no, like, he might betray us, or we have to get a backup plan, or any of that stuff. And, like, I don't know. You get the idea. But that was, again, it's the problem with, like... Abrams, it's both a good thing and a bad thing, right? He's going to go back. He actually does care about like taking the best of the source material.
Yeah.
But the first movie, that's the reintroduction. The second movie needs to be something new.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And honestly, going into Force Awakens, my assessment of it is that it is the movie I wanted the prequels to be when I went there. Like, when I went to see episode 1, like what I saw in episode 7, that's kind of what I wanted.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it was, like, I mean, like, the very first line in the movie is, like, this will make things right. If you get that. It's just,
yeah.
Like, it feels like such a jab.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Other people have pointed that out,
yeah.
And they're probably right.
But just, like, it was a relief. Because going in, like, I was apprehensive as hell. I was just like, I don't want this to be bad. It's Disney. They're not going to let him fuck it up. They are, like, they are probably, like, even if they have to, like, you know, mind control him, they are not going to let him fuck up. They spent $4 billion on this franchise. If the first movie is if the first movie is, like, Into Darkness, Star Trek, they are going to crucify him.
Yeah, it had to be a success. It couldn't be anything other than the success it's been.
Yeah, which made it very safe. And I saw it, like, it's very, like, oh, yeah, like you're saying, it's A New Hope. It's very safe in what it does, but I will give it credit in that it did what other soft reboots have done and failed at, which is introducing all new characters to essentially replace the old ones that everyone likes, and I accept them. Like, I like Rey, I like Finn, I like BB-8, I like the new characters, I like Poe. And, I mean, it's good to see Han and Leia and at the very end Luke, and, like, you know... C-3PO was kind of actually annoying to see, but
well, but that was the joke, right?
Yeah, I know.
Is that he does exactly what he does?
Does, and he's But I like it made me accept like these characters are part of this world, and I want to see more of them. I really like. Okay, these guys, the new
right. Like who walked out of Indiana Jones 4 going, man, I want to see more Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, exactly.
No, nobody walked out. They were like, oh,
or like the reboot of RoboCop or the reboot of the. Was it Total Recall?
I didn't go to see either of those.
Yeah, those, like, and both were like, why are you doing this? These sort of things. But with this, I mean, it's not like a reboot in the sense that Total Recall or RoboCop were, but I accepted everything about it.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of like other soft reboots lately. Maybe Rocky and Creed are both
kind of
like. Less sequels, more reboots.
Yeah.
Especially Creed. Creed seems like
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but like from what I hear about it. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's totally something. But it's the same kind of thing, only Rocky's the mentor, right? And Creed's son is the new boxer. That's cool. I hear it's a good movie too.
Yeah. So. Likewise. But so what do you have negative to say? Like, other than that, it is A New Hope. Like,
the only other thing that really just got in my craw was R2 at the end.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that he just magically turned on.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's bad, especially because, like, Abrams clarified, like, what happened.
Yeah.
Because people were like, oh, is R2 Force-sensitive? I'm like, oh, please don't bring the Force-sensitive droid crap into this.
No.
Like, that was one of the dumbest things that came out of the expanded universe was Force-sensitive droids.
No.
And, no, it's R2, like, from when BB-8 took the cloth off of R2...
He was
booting up.
Yeah.
It took him that long to boot up.
Yeah. And, I mean, the timing of it all, honestly, like, there was so much coincidence in that movie. Just so much. Like, BB-8 happens to run into Rey. I mean, the biggest one I found was, like, when Finn, uh-huh. when they're at Maz Kanata's,
bar
Mos Eisley. Yeah. When at the Mos Eisley cantina, and like you know the First Order attacks, and then you know Finn has you know Luke's lightsaber, and the very first guy he runs into fight happens to have a weapon.
Oh no, he kills a guy first.
Yeah, well,
before he runs into Mr. Shock Baton.
Yeah, the guy who's got a huge following now just because just for his one line traitor, but like you know he just like the guy he fights just happens to have something that works against lightsaber. Sabers.
Yeah.
Just like, he doesn't fight against guys with blasters, stuff like that. It's just like, okay, I can, but it seemed very, very, this is just for this scene. But
the thing is, well, that is definitely a problem. That contrived nature is a problem in a lot of fiction. Star Wars has a way out.
Yeah.
And the way out is the Force, right? There is no coincidence. There's only the Force, right?
And
it works on some things. Whoa.
That was bad.
Okay, and it works on some things. Yep. Not all things, but it certainly works on some things. Like, characters who should never have met in this whole galaxy randomly running into each other. I buy that.
Yep.
That's the Force.
Yep.
A droid randomly booting up. Obviously, I don't take that. I'm just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But... especially because, like, some people are like, oh, it's Luke who did it.
Yeah.
But it's clearly not, because Luke is looking pretty freaking surprised this girl has shown up on his island.
Yeah. Oh, and I loved Mark Hamill's, like, the way he's emoting.
Yeah.
Just, like, the whole, like, there's this confusion, and at the same time, there's, like, oh, fuck, not this.
Yeah, like, super dread.
Dread's just like, oh, my God, my past is finally caught up with me. And just, like, you can see he's broken. Like, something happened to him that, like, broke Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one point that was different from A New Hope in the way it ended. In that it opens up this, it creates this open universe that your imagination can run free and, like, what's going to happen, all that stuff. But it also, A New Hope had a very definitive end in the way it ended.
Yeah, it ended on a high note.
Yeah.
And this ends on a...
very mysterious sort of...
Yeah. It's not a downer.
No.
But...
It's foreboding, but at the same time, you really don't know.
Yeah.
And it gives it so much more potential. I do feel sorry for the guy who had terminal cancer who got to see the
cut of it. What was it different?
Fact that like there's more sort of. I mean, honestly, it's not a cliffhanger ending, which it's not an Empire ending. So, which is just like, oh God, what happened? What's going to happen now? Thing, but. But it's just like, because the guy sadly passed away, like, oh.
Still, yeah, I don't know, there's that, so R2's, like, random boot up, that got me,
mm-hmm.
and, like, what is it, Grand Leader Snoke?
Oh.
Could not be any less intimidating.
Yeah.
It's nothing, like, it was the one thing in the movie where I think everybody was like, oh, look at that CG thing.
Yeah, I was just like, why did you go CG with that?
Like, was it just because it was Andy Serkis?
Yeah, it is him.
It is him, and I mean, yes, I get that he was Gollum, but the man doesn't need to be CG to act.
Yeah, I mean, he did fine in The Avengers, too, so, I mean...
So, yeah, I'm just, like, it was just weird because, like, the idea that you know, we have Grandmaster Sith chillaxing out there.
Yeah.
Seems so out of place.
Yeah. And apparently, like, from this is from, like, the book, that apparently he's been around before the Empire.
Yeah, and even that annoys me.
Yeah.
Cause,
like, there's theories that he's, Darth Plagueis?
Yeah, I've heard that rumor.
And, I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with his existence, per se. I do have, like... He doesn't sound threatening at all, though. Like...
See, okay, but, and here's the thing, and this is something that you'll hear anyone who's read any of the books bitch about. So, this is it. Most famous book series in the
Timothy
books
Zahn.
Was Timothy Zahn's, right? And those three books introduced a villain that was not the Emperor and not Vader in a very good way. It was, like, the super intelligent, honorable, but clever as all crap guy. You know, like, and that was Grand Admiral Thrawn. That in the horrible, horrible xenophobic Empire is a man who managed to make it to the rank below the Emperor himself,
who's not human.
Yeah, and who's not human. Who's a Chiss, a blue-skinned, red-eyed guy, right? And who was basically in pseudo exile and didn't even know about the fall of the Empire for, like, years, and then he comes back. There's no reason not to have. Why not have him? Right? Like, because, first of all, he looks cool. Blue skin, glowing red eyes, right? And the whole thing is, he, in the books, at least, is smart enough to be able to at least... And I don't mean control, like, hard control, but, like, persuasively trick and control Dark Jedi into doing things he wants them to do. And to have, like, a human at the top who's not a Force-sensitive, but, like, is still able to just, you know, whoop Jedi or whatever through tactics in his mind, that's a threat unlike anything we've seen, but instead we've gone back to ominous, scary
Dark Jedi.
Dark Jedi guy, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's not like, I was mad because, like, I just didn't buy him as a villain. Like, I was just like, okay, this dude who has a big hologram, good on him. And, you know, so he did nothing for me as a villain. And it just felt like wasted potential.
Yeah. It was like, honestly, I kind of wish they hadn't shown him at all. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
If they just had, like, people coming out of a room or something, like, you know, Snoke says do this or do that, just, like, word of mouth, because that was what the Emperor was for me, for, like, you know.
Yeah.
I did, like, I...
Yeah, no, that's what happens. In A New Hope, you don't see the Emperor at all, but you do hear that things like, oh, the Emperor just dissolved the Senate.
Yeah, and, like, even in Empire, like, you don't see him for the longest time.
Yeah, you just get to see a brief thing of Vader talking to him.
With him, like, but when he comes out in Jedi, it's just like, whoa, sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
oh, he showed up.
Yeah, and, I mean, and one of the things about a really good threatening character is the way the other people are afraid of him before he even shows up. And it's like, there was honestly none of that with Snoke at all, which was a real shame. I mean, what did you think of Kylo Ren?
I didn't particularly like him. I get why people do like him. And I get the reason people like him is because he's basically what Anakin should have been.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that a lot, and I agree.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I never really found him threatening, because I found him so pathetic.
That was one thing about Episode 7, was that, like, even Starkiller Base didn't feel like a huge threat.
Yeah.
To the viewer.
Right.
Obviously, in the world, like, holy shit, it blew up five planets. It's like this thing that eats its nearby sun. How the hell do they recharge it after they eat their own sun?
Yeah, are you telling me it had giant hyperdrive engines on it? I mean, that's in the expanded universe, too, but there's nothing about, like, oh, by the way, now that we've sucked up the sun, the surface temperatures are going to drop to nothing. We're going to lose our orbit because we sucked up all the mass of a star.
Yeah.
Like...
I think, like, what was in the novelization or something, or the original script or something, like, the Starkiller Base was something different.
Yeah, it didn't fire, like, a literal beam.
Yeah.
And so it shot through hyperspace.
Yeah. And also, the kind of, like, the galaxy gun, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, somewhat. Okay. Except it's not real, like you wouldn't see a beam or anything. Yeah. It's just like the beam itself would go to light speed, and therefore you couldn't see it because it's at light speed, and then it would just come out of light speed right before a planet and blow it up.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is in the book.
Okay. Yeah, and like the whole like drawing on the power of the sun thing was actually originally was something like Kylo Ren did. Like he drew his power from the sun or something like that. But anyways, yeah. But like this, yeah. There really was no overall sense of threat to the audience.
Yeah, well, it's because like it didn't really.
There was okay.
We needed a map. Like that's what we needed, and I don't mean like the Luke map, but we needed to see like where is this thing, how close is it to where our heroes are?
Kind of like
right, yeah. Like because there's an interesting thing. Like one of the things that made me go huh was so you know they blast off of Jakku, then immediately they have a problem, right? So they're fixing it. The moment they finish fixing it, Han shows up with his ship, right? They've not gone to light speed.
Yeah.
So and he's like, "Where are you going? Where'd you find it? Jakku? How could that be? You're at Jakku. I can't figure out how the Empire isn't getting or the First Order isn't getting them because while they may have left orbit, they're not going. They're still in the same star system. They're not going faster than the speed of light.
They can't because of like the hyperdrive will break. Because
right,
that was the whole,
it's not fixed yet.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. It was just like the thing that the junk guy installed will put too much stress on the hyperdrive and could blow it up.
Yeah. So, and so like that whole thing, like I was like, you're still like next door to Jakku. I don't care if you're going 0.999999 the speed of light.
You're still next.
You're still next to Jakku. There's no way you're not.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, it kind of got me because I'm like, we needed a map to show us, like, these distances and where they are and like, where they're going.
Relative
to each other. Because since we don't have any kind of scope about, like, where they are and how long it takes to get from one place to another, there's little sense of urgency. Because, like, think about it. Like, they have to be close enough that they can see that star system blow up.
Yeah.
In real time. Like, think about it. Yeah. That's the speed of light, right? So, are they in, like, the same star system?
Yeah.
Because you'd have to be that close.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was, like, blowing a planet, it's smaller than a star-going supernova. Like,
yeah. And think about it. Remember, like, even our star system, right?
Yeah.
Nearest one, Alpha Centauri, right?
Yeah.
If Alpha Centauri blew up, we wouldn't know it for years.
Yeah.
Because that's how long it would take the light to reach us.
Yeah.
So how is it they, in almost real time, can look up in the sky and see it blow up, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, so are we next door? Like, are we in the same star system? You decided the place to put your secret base was next to the capital of the Republic? I guess no one would think to live there, I guess.
Yeah, it would have worked much better if... Because, honestly, like, I was waiting for that moment, the Ben Kenobi moment where, like, thousands, you know... I was waiting, like, somebody, like, feels
Leia
something.
Didn't care at all.
The only time she felt something was with Han, and I understand that, but even, like, I mean...
Like, literally billions of people just died, and she's like, a billion people just died.
Yeah, that's like, Alderaan was one planet, this is five.
Yeah.
It's just like... And, like, even Rey, even her untrained state, I wanted her to feel something.
Right, yeah, that's a lot of death.
Yeah, and side note, do you think Finn is force sensitive?
No.
Oh. I kind of hope
I hope he's not, too.
Really?
I always like... Remember, who's more popular? Han Solo or Luke Skywalker? The Jedi with his magical powers or the dude who's just got a gun and the balls to stand with a guy who has magical powers?
Good point.
I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of people like Luke. I like Luke.
Yeah.
I like Luke a lot. But, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the thing. And think about it, you basically have a guy, a stormtrooper, right, who has the balls to pick up a lightsaber and try to fight with it.
Yeah, I do like that a lot. Like, I was hoping that, like, you know, he has some latent something that he doesn't know of. Like, even the whole...
I think he's just talented. I just think he's good at shooting things.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And also, I like, there's complaints that, like, you know, he's a coward and just, like... because he's a black guy, they're portraying him as a coward, and like he's a goofball, he can't, and just like
how many people did he take out?
Yeah, like, I was watching the second movie, and it's just like, no, he's not. Like, first, the whole thing about him being incompetent, he is a fucking good shooter.
Yeah, seriously, he's never ever been in the gunner seat of a starfighter in his entire life.
Yeah.
He shoots down like 6 missiles and blows up a whole bunch of cannons. Like, yeah. And I don't think I could do that.
And, like, he's fast on his feet. Like, he assesses the situation. Like, watching Rey getting attacked, he immediately goes to help. She doesn't need help. And then, so, like, she's running towards him. Oh, shit, I'm in trouble. So he starts running. It's just, like, he can assess the situation, and he reacts to it, like, when the TIE fighters attack and all that stuff. Also, like, the whole thing, like, he's running for, like, he's a coward running for the first story. It's just, like, he's been there. He knows what this thing can do.
Yeah.
He does. Like, he didn't even have to see it be fired to know the potential of this thing. Yeah, he's gonna be afraid of it. Yeah, he wants to run away from it. Just right. That's not a race thing.
No, that's a, oh my gosh, that thing blows up planets
thing. So it's just like, I don't understand that argument, the whole race argument.
That's crazy. I haven't heard that at all, and that weirds me out that exists.
Yeah, for me too, I was just like, because I love his character, and it's just like, he's both the audience character and...
Yeah, I mean, he's totally a coward, and that's exactly why he, lied to the entire resistance to get them to take him on a suicide mission to a thing that blows up planets to rescue a girl that he met 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because that's something a coward would do. Cowards totally sign up for suicide missions to rescue people they just met.
But, again, going off another tangent, one thing I really, really did enjoy about going back to the introducing new characters, one thing I really liked about Kylo Ren was his voice.
With the mask on, maybe.
Yeah, well, just like...
I didn't like him with his mask off.
Because Darth Vader's voice, I mean, James Earl Jones is so iconic, and you really can't replace that, but they did a good job. Like, giving him a very, like...
Yeah, and it was easily understandable. I think it could have so easily gone the Bane route.
Yeah.
Especially if you've seen the original...
Oh, the trailer for Dark Knight.
Or, like, when they showed the IMAX.
Yeah.
In IMAX, they showed, like, that first opening scene of The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Before they had redubbed it. Nonsensical. You could not understand a word out of Bane's mouth.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and then it had the weird sing-songy quality, which is...
Yeah.
Sure, we all get it, but at the same time, this sounded like a guy talking through a mask.
Yeah,
but he was still clear, he was still intelligible, and he was intimidating.
Yeah, that's the one of the hardest things, because I was actually talking with this with a friend, like voice actor for Darth Vader, because in Japan, long story, but in Japan they have something they do every New Year's, the mm-hmm. Kohaku Takasen. I think I've mentioned it in last year in one of the podcasts, but they had an event thing where like they brought in Star Wars because it's big and mm-hmm. you know, whatever, it gets ratings, but they brought in Star Wars and they had Darth Vader, but of course it was live, so he was dubbed.
Yeah.
And just like the voice was just like not intimidating at all, and I was actually talking with a friend, like, who would you have voice Darth Vader? Like, who would you want? And just like, it's hard, like, it's easy to get, it's easy to get someone with a deep voice. That is very, like, what is it, Joji Nakata, he was the voice of, from Fate, the priest.
I would probably go for, like, Otsuka, maybe.
But it's just like, it's hard to do intimidating. Like, deep is easy, intimidating is hard, forget the actor's name for Kylo Ren.
Yeah,
he did a really good job at being intimidating.
Yeah, there's weird stuff with Kylo Ren that bugs me on certain levels. Mm-hmm. But I'm more of the wait and see than I am of the angry.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, because our introduction to him is that Darth Vader could catch a blaster bolt in his hand.
Yeah,
Kylo Ren can stop it.
Yeah.
In midair, without any effort, and can carry on irrelevant conversations
with it held,
right? Like,
that felt like an
that's power, that's crazy power. So then you're telling me that I don't care if he's been shot by a bowcaster or not.
Yeah.
You're telling me girl who has never held a lightsaber before in her life kicks his ass at the end? Like, that's not degrading her. That's just saying, look at this power disparity, especially, yeah. You know, earlier in the film when he knocks her out once by force pushing her, yeah. Knocks her out again by waving a hand in front of her, and another time just holds her still with the force.
Yeah.
You know, like,
there's
the power disparity that gets me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, I guess I'm a little dubious. Like, she leveled up fast, let's put it that way. Like Luke with weeks of training was not pulling the crap she was pulling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, don't get me wrong, we knew she knew how to fight. We've already seen that.
Yeah.
But fighting with a stick and fighting with a lightsaber are two kind of different things.
Yeah.
I really like, here's something that nobody's mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
She fights with a lightsaber in a way unlike anyone else. She thrusts.
Actually?
Oh, no, I guess Dooku
thrusts. Emperor does.
Oh, yeah.
That was one thing I noticed. I was like, one thing I noticed was like, when she was fighting him, one, she was pissed.
Yeah.
And like she was using, like she was doing the thrust thing that the Emperor did when he killed, like in episode 3. I was just like,
is she
drawing on the dark side? And it felt that way. Like she's drawing on the dark side. Then she gets that moment of clarity, and then she starts fighting with the light side.
Yeah.
So of course, although she did,
or I even question if she was using the Force before.
Mm.
Like before, like he's like, oh, by the way, I'll train you in the Force, and she's like, oh yeah, I have that. Right.
Yeah. I also, one thing I like about the movie is that this felt very J.J. Abrams fanboyish, in that, like, even, like, the catching the blaster bolt in the air, like, so it felt like he was exploring an extension of what has already been established. Like, I mean, I often think, like, when you see, like, I mean, an anime with a character who can use telekinesis, for example, and you think of, and as a viewer, you think of other ways, like, to use it.
Yeah.
You explore, like, if you can do this with your mind, you wouldn't just, like, throw blocks around. That's not all you do. You could do...
Sure.
You know, very finesse, you know, like, very, subtle things with it. And so it felt like Abrams kind of exploring what has already been established. And, like, I mean, just, like, if you can influence someone's mind, perhaps you can draw information out of their mind. That sort of thing. But which I did appreciate. It also expanded the... Because, like, the prequels did nothing for that.
Yeah, nothing.
There was nothing new introduced with the Force other than that, like, apparently we can't use it sort of thing.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, actually, my favorite... I'll say this. This is my favorite little thing that I didn't notice my first time through that I really appreciated. In the interrogation scene between Kylo Ren and Rey...
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he's trying to rifle through her memory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before she knows what's going on so she can stop him, right? And he's like, oh, I see, whenever you're scared at night, you have this place that you go to, this island
in the middle of the ocean. Yeah.
And I like that for a couple reasons, because one, we know that she doesn't even know what a forest or an ocean looks like. Yeah. She's never seen these things.
Yeah.
He may know what it is. He may know it's an ocean and an island. Yeah. She wouldn't know that. She has no context for that. Especially when she sees a forest and says, I didn't know there was this much green in the world.
Yeah.
She literally has never seen an ocean and has never seen a forest, right? So she couldn't... She may think of this, but she wouldn't really know what it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, that's where Luke is.
Yeah.
Like, this whole time, she has been drawn to that place. And I liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that was good storytelling that didn't seem like anything at first until the end.
Yeah.
I also, the thing is, like, a lot of people, I think it was kind of funny that they didn't get the map. I'm surprised so many people are confused about the map itself. Because, like, okay, the part that BB has is a sector that's uncharted.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just uncharted. It's a big galaxy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, don't get me wrong, it's like an eighth of the galaxy, but in the Star Wars universe, yeah, an eighth of the galaxy is uncharted. Over that, almost a fourth of the galaxy is uncharted.
How much of this galaxy is charted?
Yeah, in the expanded universe, I mean, that's how much it is. A fourth of the galaxy is uncharted, because that's where the Chiss live, and they don't let people in. And so, like, yeah, okay, it makes sense that you would have a chunk of a map that's pretty useless.
Yeah.
Unless you have the rest of the galaxy map, right? And you need both parts, right?
Yeah.
You need to know where the hole is and where to put the piece, and then you can see. And it's also, like, if you assume that, like, you need... The map not only shows the planet where he's at, it shows how he got there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember, this is... what was it? Good old Han Solo said, like... it's not like dusting crops.
Yeah.
If you don't have the exact calculations, you're going to fly through a star and die.
Yeah.
If it's uncharted, people, it's uncharted. You can't just go, I know the planet is there, and fly there. There's about a billion stars in the way that are going to kill you if you don't know how to get there. So you needed not only both pieces, not only the location, you needed his path, or you never get there.
Yeah.
Well, not for years and years and years, anyway.
Yeah. That was definitely one big thing. Yeah, speaking of the little subtle things that mm-hmm. I really liked, this was perhaps my biggest thing that I really liked that the new Episode 7 fixed about the prequels, was that it made lightsabers special again.
Yeah, that was always one big thing that killed me with the prequels.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, episode 4, he gets this reverend item that his father, you know, that was his father's before him. And, you know, in episode 5, he fucking loses it. And you're just like, oh, and then in episode 6, it's just such a huge thing when he's like, oh, fuck, he has one now.
He built one.
Yeah, he built a new one. And then just like, and the fact that, like, you know, Darth Vader says, like, you made one, looks like you're ready.
Yeah.
It's just like, it looks like you are now full-fledged. And then the prequels came, and they were just, like, popping them like Tic Tacs, and just, like, and breaking them
and losing them,
and, like, using other people's stuff. Because, like, it always felt wrong to see someone use someone else's lightsaber. Because,
yeah.
like, that was kind of the thing, was, like, the reason he lost his lightsaber, it was kind of important, because that was never his. And then he now, you know, he's a Jedi, and has
some. Some of the logic killed me, like, don't get me wrong, is it really cool to watch Anakin dual wield against Dooku? Yes.
Yeah.
But if dual wielding would help, why the hell don't you have two lightsabers yourself?
Yeah. All the
time.
Like,
if you're trained in that, then you're trained in that. But if you're not trained in that, you might as well stick to the one lightsaber, because why would you be better at something you don't practice than something you are, right? So that killed me, too.
And just, like, it's like... I mean, even when Obi-Wan brings it out, it's just like an elegant weapon. Like, he treats it with reverence, and it's just like, this is a symbol. And fuck, even the prequels, they say, like, this weapon is your life. And it's just like, yeah, he's not treating it like.
No, but we're gonna go through like a dozen and a half of these.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, lose them, you know, dropped it, got it cut in half, got it broken, and it's just like, and so they became like. Fuck, everybody has one of these things. I mean, what was that comic? It's just like, ever since the prequels, like, every fucking asshole has one. Just like, but so, like, with episode 7, it was just like, this is an important thing. It's just like, like, you know, it gave it reverence. It gave it, like, the whole thing weight. And just, like, I really love that. I mean, even Kylo Ren's lightsaber, which seems like, you don't...
Yeah, his is not well-built lightsaber.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, this is, you know... It emphasizes, like, the importance of Luke's lightsaber, and just, like, this is the one thing. And so it's like the one ring, in a way. It's just, like, that important. And although I do not enjoy the fact that they changed the ignition sound.
Oh, of the lightsaber?
Yeah.
Like, what, you mean when they cranked the bass?
I
actually really enjoyed that. I love the fact that when they turn it on, it has fucking weight now. It's not just a... It's...
Yeah, I didn't.
And you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, especially in that final battle.
Yeah. Oh, well, I understand that, like, I understand Kylo Ren's saber making that sound.
Yeah.
But Luke's, it doesn't make...
It doesn't make that. But, like, I think it was more dramatic impact. Both.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it has that huge ignition sound when he uses it on the outsized Maz Kanata's. I think it's just pretty normal. But during the climax, that final fight, both him and Rey, when they turn it on, they cranked the bass on them. They made it sound like God was chucking a thunderbolt. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, but...
It's like, this thing has just turned on, and the universe is just shaking.
It didn't feel necessary for me. Like, because what they built up till then, like, mm-hmm. just like, what this thing is. I mean, even Finn using it, it's like, it felt like, even it, like, force sensitive, doesn't matter, like, the fact that he can use it is because of it. It's not, like, because he's skilled, because of it. I didn't read it that way. Well, I did, I can see it read that way, and, like, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, like, it gives the lightsaber itself more reverence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it carries its own aura with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, though. Yeah, but remember, like, he sucked with a lightsaber. Like, that's the important thing to remember. Finn was terrible with a lightsaber.
Like, well, at least he didn't, like, the
big... He does take out, like, one person, well, but he, like, sneaks up behind the guy and stabs him through the back, so...
Well, at least he didn't cut his own hand off or his own arm off,
right.
Like, which is, like... What you'd think might happen, because the most dangerous thing about a lightsaber is it doesn't have any fucking weight. So it's just like, you could...
Well, but that's the thing, actually. Like, according to, like the original Star Wars, if you notice, both Obi-Wan and Vader always have a two-handed grip on their lightsaber.
Yeah.
And the reason is, it's supposed to be stupid heavy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Did not know that. That's...
Except, I mean, and that's how it was originally, and that's why they always have to fight with two hands on the weapon. Oh. But then as it goes on, it becomes this thing where
this
it's...
dance of one-handed... Yeah.
One-handed crazy spinny stuff.
Yeah. I was... Yeah, so, I think somewhere along the line someone said, like, you need at least one hand on it or else it'll turn off or something, but...
Who knows?
Of course, Darth Vader throws his, so... But anyways...
But this is Force. He's holding the activation switch. Yeah. That's what I say.
Yeah, but...
They also changed which was the activation switch.
Yeah, that was also interesting.
On Luke's saber. I'm like, I know where the activation switch is in Luke's saber, and it's not the thumb point.
Yeah. Did you notice that Rey, when she... first is about to turn it on, like when she force pulls it and she's holding it,
yeah,
her hand is nowhere near it, and then when she turns it on, her hand is on.
Yeah, right.
But yeah,
so that was a prop mistake. Nobody told them what was the button. And so they just guessed, and that's fine. I mean, that's a little thing, but I laughed. I was like, wow, you turned that on without pushing the button.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
but going back, like, looking at the whole thing, I mean, as I had said, like, it was the movie I thought I wanted the prequels to be. And, I mean...
Rey's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Rey's great. Finn's great.
Yeah.
Their friendship is great.
Yeah.
Like, the way they bond is great. Like, I mean, it's obvious. Of course, there's some attraction between them, but it's not like he's constantly hitting on her or vice versa. It's... a genuine emotional connection.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's love or just friendship.
I mean, there's only one moment where it actually seems like that, when he asks her if she has a boyfriend.
Yeah, she has a boyfriend, but that's, like, literally the moment after they met.
Yeah.
From that point on, like, you know, like, they're pretty tight.
Yeah.
And excited and all that stuff. Like, they're excited to be doing the things they're doing. But what I love is, I love their banter, especially on the ship with the monster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With the monsters coming out. Because, like, what was it? Like, I love the thing where she, you know, pulls the wrong breakers or whatever. The monsters get out, start killing everybody. Yeah. And he's like, that was a mistake. And she's like, huge! like, they both... Like, it's not criticism. It's like, oh, no.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And then later on, when she rescues him by closing the door...
Yeah.
She doesn't even take credit for it.
Yeah, I love that, too.
Like he's like, the door just shut and it saved me. And she's like, oh, that was lucky. And that's it. And I was like, you are a really good person. You don't need to take the credit for it or anything like that. You don't have that ego.
Yeah.
You're just happy to see he's okay.
Oh, which gets us to the whole Mary Sue argument, which is bullshit. But I guess I don't think we have to go into that.
No. Well, it's just because now people don't. Mary Sue is a term that has lost absolutely all meaning.
Yeah.
Because originally what it is it's a fanfic term, if people don't know.
Yeah.
What it was is it was literally the author has created a proxy character that is them who shows up and is better than all the other people in the fanfic.
Yeah.
And they all love him.
Yeah.
Boy or girl or whatever. And that's what it is. She did not show up, everyone.
No.
It was clearly no author. She wasn't J.J. Abrams.
No.
So she's not
And even anything...
And she certainly wasn't even overpowered.
Anything, yeah. Any abilities or skills she had made sense. Like, I mean, every skill that Finn had made sense. Like, he was a stormtrooper. He was trained... I mean, yeah, okay, so he was working sanitary for a while, but he was a stormtrooper. Like, you saw him with a gun, rifle, he had the training and all that.
Shot a lot of people.
Yeah, and just like... Their abilities made sense.
Yeah,
they were not overpowered. Honestly,
it's basically Mary Sue now means character I don't like.
I'm not happy with. Yeah,
I'm not happy with this character, and therefore they are a Mary Sue.
Yeah,
it's a non-term.
Yeah, but going back, like looking at the episode 7 as a whole, because as some people may or may not know, like my girlfriend. had not seen Star Wars before dating me. She knew nothing. Like, she didn't even know that Darth Vader was Luke... Spoilers. Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Yeah.
There are people out there. There are people who did not know this fact.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, she had it spoiled.
I oddly met several.
Yeah.
I've met several in the last couple months.
And...
Who were desperately trying to get to the movies before, before they saw the new one.
Yeah. And just, like... But, like, going over, like, I did the machete thing and watched 4, 5, 2, 3, 6. And she watched them with me, I think, more or less for my sake, because I'm a Star Wars fan. She saw them. I mean, she enjoyed them.
Yeah.
She thought, like, she obviously saw problems and things like that. And just, like, episode 4, as much as I love it, like, looking back and looking at it with her, I was just like, ooh, that effect. Yeah, I mean, the special edition effects just do not help at all. But even so, like, as someone who has grown up, like, don't want to say her age, but, like, as grown up, she's younger than me, and, like, has grown up with, like, you know, good CG and, like, good practical effects. Like, I won't say that Star Wars has bad practical effects. I will say they were limited by the times. They were limited by the budget.
Yeah, they looked great when I saw them in 1990, whatever.
Yeah, they were great when I saw them as a kid. Like, as I'm saying, like, episode 7 is what I saw in my mind when I saw episode 4. Like,
yeah.
That's because the imagination of a child amplifies and, like, just enhances it. So that was what I saw.
Yeah, I rewatched all the movies right before going to see it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the interesting, here's an interesting thing that I came out of 7 thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lightsabers are real, right? Like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
That's how I still feel. Like, they're real. I have seen them. They react correctly. Like, when she's fighting Kylo Ren and it hits the ice, the ice starts to vaporize, right?
Yeah. Like, when it's...
And there's,
when it's,
like, he drops it. Even for a second, we get a plume of, like...
Yeah.
Of vaporized water.
I mean, like, when there's snow flying, everything, you hear the pss,
yeah, as it hits the blade, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, they're real, right?
Yeah.
Like... They look real, and all the lighting is correct, you know? They're getting the glows off their faces. I'm like, what were they holding in real life, then? Giant glow sticks that had the correct lighting? Because, like, if not, you CG engineers, good job. Like, holy crap, good job. But it's kind of one of those things. Like, and if you wonder what I mean, like, they're real, right? Think about Sesame Street. Cookie Monster's real, right? He's a real person. You've seen him talk. You've seen him on talk shows.
Yeah.
You've seen him on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
You've seen people have conversations with him. He's a real person, right? I mean, he may be an actor, but, you know, he is Cookie Monster, right?
Yeah.
He just normally walks around. He's a big blue monster, right?
Yeah.
He's real. You're convinced.
Yeah.
Part of you believes fully.
Yeah.
Even if you know differently, you believe it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of those things where I was like, yeah, lightsabers are totally real, because I don't see how this could possibly, I could be seeing this if it wasn't real, kind of thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, what I was getting at is that's like, episode, the prequels and the original trilogy, she watched those and, okay, these are a thing. But going into episode 7, she was just like, now I understand why you like Star Wars.
Yeah.
She fucking loves it. And just like, oh, this is so totally for this new generation. This is the Star Wars for the new generation. And like, why people may have their complaints and people have their problems, like, Star Wars may have left them behind in a way. Just like, you know, it's just like...
Maybe so.
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah. I guess, again, my whole problem with it was there is so much good Star Wars out there.
Yeah.
And to go back to A New Hope was annoying.
Yeah.
However, it might have been necessary.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah, now I go back and I watch it, like I said, what, 4 times now?
Yeah.
And I love watching every scene with Daisy Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
John Boyega.
And John Boyega, her and Finn, yeah. And I love every piece of banter they throw out.
Oh, yeah.
I love every scene they're in together. I mean, she's a hero that's good to root for.
Mm-hmm.
I also love the fact that she breaks herself out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's not like instead of getting the I could have done this on my own, it's holy crap, you guys came to save me, thank you. Right? Like, 'cause isn't that how any rational person would react?
It's like, I've been doing this, I've been getting by on the, you know, on the skin of my, you know.
But now, like, I have five friends to help me, or three friends to help me. Yeah, geez, isn't it nice to know that people cared enough about you to come for you? You wouldn't react with, like, I'm doing fine on my own. Like, come on, guys. And that's a problem. They didn't overwrite her.
No.
Right? They didn't make her a caricature of strong woman archetype. Like, she is not male character with breasts. Yeah. She is
human.
A human girl, right? Yeah. Who she's perfectly competent on her own, but that doesn't mean she doesn't like having friends and appreciate when they do crazy crap like come to rescue her on a Death Star.
Yep. So what do you think they're going to be doing for the next movie? Because if, like,
there's two ways it can go. It's either A, Luke has accepted her, and we jump a couple years, and we see her partially to fully trained, and we deal with basically the conflict of, do we need more Jedi or not? Is she the first of many or the only? Right?
Because the last time they tried that.
Right, exactly. Like, I think Luke might be able to get his hand around one, because she's learning about the Force whether she wants to or not. You know, she better have somebody to teach
her. She needs guidance.
Yeah, if he doesn't, if he doesn't give her guidance, she's going to mess around on her own and probably fall to the dark side. And at that point, it is his fault, because she came to him and asked. Right? Her powers are developing at such a crazy rate that she needs the help. Yeah. So you either, A, say that he's trained her, we move on, we see what she's doing in a couple years, we see how the galaxy's changed now that the New Republic's upper government has just been obliterated. And basically the Resistance, which is, you know, this government-funded, but we totally don't fund them thing, has now basically become the front line in a war. And Leia basically the head of the military, which is a crazy kind of concept. Not in a bad way, not like she couldn't lead a military, but like she went from basically clandestine paramilitary operations leader to the front line of an army, you know, the head commander.
Yeah.
Of an entire army to save, like, these people. It's a completely different, like, scale thing. And so that's where it goes, or it starts literally the day after. Like, it starts moments after, where, and we have to deal with at least half a movie of her being like, train me, Luke, and Luke being like, I'm not gonna train you. Train me, Luke, I'm not gonna train you.
And
then something bad happens, I better go train her. and that's we don't need that movie.
No.
That's the obvious movie. Like, you can skip a couple years, and you can still have that conflict.
Yeah.
You just don't have it about her. You have it about her trying to convince him to take on more students, and him telling her, and them working together.
I wonder if that would be a conflict at all, though. Like, because, like, she's seen the results of the last time he took on multiple students.
That's true, too.
Yeah. So, to think there would be conflict between them, I kind of can't imagine that very much.
Well,
she might have problems with his teachings, but I don't think she'd...
Well, he's isolationist right now, and she is as far from isolationist as you can get.
True.
At this point. Yeah. Like, by the end of the film, that is her arc. Her arc is she goes from being completely isolated on this planet, and that's how she wants it, because she's waiting for people that'll never come.
Yeah.
I hope to the point, I hope they better never explain that.
I hope they don't.
Like, I really hope. I don't want to know who her parents are. I don't want to know who Finn's parents are.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to know, because it can only be either A, contrived, or B, meaningless.
Yeah.
So,
because that's what happened with Anakin.
Oh, gosh, yeah, like, that's even worse. Like, he was born by the Force itself. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you ever did bring her parents back, you have to use them in a very different way. They can't be anybody important. Yeah. They have to be just normal, horrible people.
Yeah.
That Kylo Ren has found and is going to start torturing.
Yeah.
You know, and so basically, you know, that's a choice, right? Like, if you're trying to turn her to the dark side, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You get her parents, who abandoned her ass on a desert planet and sold her to Simon Pegg. can't go around selling your daughters to Simon Pegg people. It's just, it's not the proper way to get rid of a child. Okay, yeah. that's I guess that's what I'm saying.
Did not recognize him though. Like, even when I knew it was him, just like did not recognize. I do appreciate.
I love all the cameos. That's a lot of fun.
James Bond's.
Yeah, Daniel Craig's in it. Like I was looking through a list. I was like, wow, there's a lot of people here. Yeah. A couple Game of Thrones actors. Yep.
Still, I need to go back a third time to find R2KT.
Oh, yeah, I found her.
Yeah.
I've seen her.
Like, she's like in like three scenes or something like that.
Yeah, in the background. But yeah, R2KT.
Because I knew she was there. Like, I even knew that she was like in the rubble base somewhere, some of the scenes. I missed, like, I either got caught up in the moment, like, walking out of the stuff, or just, I forgot to look in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun movie to rewatch stuff. Yeah. It's certainly not a perfect movie, but it's a solid and especially entertaining movie.
Yeah. As far as what I was fearing might happen, it blew those away.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, like, my fears. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were right what you said earlier. It's a very safe movie. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. There's no risk taking in this movie at all. I mean, the closest you get is Rey.
Yeah.
Is our new hero being female.
Yeah. And I guess in some minds, Finn being black.
Yeah. Okay. And then maybe killing Han, but like...
Nah.
I thought that was... Like I said, that from the moment I was like, oh, he's the mentor. He's dead. Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, so dead.
He's either dead or never coming back in some way or another. And that was kind of... That was actually kind of spoiled for me, because the whole, like, his contract, like... Harrison Ford only for one movie. That was
really?
And well, actually, what the really thing that was spoiled for me, because I mentioned this to you before. Like,
yes, you did.
Was that Kylo Ren was his son.
Oh.
That was spoiled for me.
I was pretty certain, actually, going in just from the expanded universe. I was like, yeah, that's who he is.
Yeah.
I was almost certain.
Yeah, but I was
although that... Now we've gone into another thing that pisses me off.
What?
In the books, Mara Jade and Luke Skywalker's son is Ben. Because it makes sense that he because what happens is they name Han and Leia name their kids Jaina, Jason, and Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, poor Anakin has to live with the fact that he has the name of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And it kind of messes him up because he's always like worried that that's
what's waiting
for him, right? And so Luke sees that when he has his own kid, he goes, well, I want to name my kid Obi-Wan because the most important guy in my life who set me on this path was Obi-Wan Kenobi. But I can't do that because then it's basically telling your kid, you have to become this person I idolized.
Yeah.
And so instead, he chooses the name of the nice old guy that watched over him from afar.
Ben.
Yeah. Why the hell would Han Solo name his son Ben? He knew Obi-Wan Kenobi for a day. That one time when he met the dude, put him on his ship, and that was it.
Yeah.
Leia never met the guy.
Yeah.
Why would she name her kid Ben? Like, it makes sense if it's Luke, but it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. They should have just called him Anakin.
Yeah.
And then it makes sense, right?
Or something similar.
Yeah, like, I get the callback, but it was a dumb callback, because why would they have named it?
Yeah, that? Although Anakin would be a... kind of would explain a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's right on the
would
nose.
Explain
it's
a lot.
Little on the nose.
Yeah.
A little on the nose, I admit.
Yeah. I do like the Kylo Ren Anakin fanboy, Darth Vader fanboy sort of thing.
Yeah.
I like that. I appreciate it. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't, it like, I like it in a way that I don't find it humorous.
Yeah.
Like, the way I like, people, like, sort of blowing it up. Have you seen those pictures where it's, like, they have a picture, a sequence of pictures of figures,
uh-huh.
And, like, there's a Darth Vader, and he's at a table. It's one of those idle handshake things,
uh-huh.
And Kylo Ren comes up, and he's, like, you know, he's trying to take pictures, selfies with him, and then there's a stormtrooper in the background, so, like, they knock it off, and the final panel is, like, the stormtrooper dragging him away, and, like, you know, Darth Vader looking, well, who was that guy?
Oh, God.
Yeah. But, I like he and like I not so much fanboy. In my mind, it's not so much fanboyism as just like he admires the idolization. It's just like,
well, like that's one of the things is we know he idolizes Darth Vader, but we don't know what he thinks Darth Vader is.
Yeah, what he thinks of him. What is in his?
Yeah,
in
like
his
what does he perceive Darth Vader to be?
Yeah.
Because you can look at, we know what he was like. Yeah. Like you can look at him as the way like normal people would look at him if they knew who he was at all. Because why would you?
Yeah.
But if you knew who he was, you'd probably know him as that guy who came to our planet that one time, killed a whole bunch of people, and stole a couple babies.
Yeah.
Right? Who came for sensitive children, so there wouldn't be any more Jedi. Like that's probably what you would know about him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Like, and if not, then what, you know him from his own version of this tale, which would be he was this guy who believed in strength through order, and that only that way could people be safe and happy.
Or he was a whiny crybaby.
Right? Like
he was the prequel.
Yeah. What version of Anakin, or of Darth Vader, does he see?
Or is there some story of Darth Vader that we haven't been, you know...
Yeah.
Shown yet, which actually kind of expands on it and makes for interesting potential.
I wouldn't mind a Darth Vader movie.
Yeah. Also, going to that, but the whole thing Poe Dameron's his escape from Jakku, and C-3PO's red arm. I was just like, those are totally going to be video games. Just like that, or the video games, or side stories, or comics. Those are so totally.
See, I didn't need either. I feel no need for those. Like,
yeah. Well, they didn't really add or take.
Yeah, it was a one-off joke, and yeah, it makes sense. If he woke up, he would go to the first contact he could figure out on the planet,
and go straight back to the real base instead of like sidetracking anywhere.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it's like if he did that, and like as soon as he finds out that the Empire's looking for this droid, but the droid's no longer on the planet.
Yeah.
Where else would he go? But
straight back. Yeah.
Straight back to the rebel. Of course. Like. Yeah. So, like, that was one of those things where I was like, I don't see how this is even something people are worried about. Like,
yeah. But it feels like, okay, this is stuff that they're going to be mining for other
mining
stuff.
Mining for stuff, probably.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've heard about, like, in Florida, Disney, they're creating a Star Wars area, and apparently it's going to be canon. Something about it, like some aspect, some attraction is going to have to do with the story and actually like be supposedly canon.
Well, Disney can have fun with their big pile of money.
Yeah. God, lot of merch.
Yeah, they've figured it out. They were like they had the little girl market for decades with the princesses and stuff, and now they've got the young males by the balls with Marvel and Star Wars.
Not just the young.
That's true. The young and the old. Yeah. And boy, that was kind of a sexist statement. count that.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sorry. From my point of view, is when I was a kid, it was very much like superheroes, boys.
Yeah,
princesses, girls. That's what we were taught.
In
right?
Kids of the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, now I love it because, yeah, obviously, tons of girls like superheroes.
Yeah.
Tons of girls like Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm happy to live in this age. I am so so happy about that.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, it was always sad that it was kind of like, oh, well, that's a girl, and girls aren't allowed to like this. Yeah. And you're like, oh, well, that's stupid.
Yeah. But now
now I don't have to worry about that. That's nice.
Yeah. But like Disney putting out so much merch.
So
I told myself like not going to like not this time.
Now you own a BB-8, don't you?
Oh yeah,
you bought a BB-8. Oh
yeah. The app controlled BB-8. Yeah, that's in the mail.
Oh, are you ready for the fun thing about BB-8?
What?
Imagine if you were writing it in Leet. 1-3-1-3-8. Because that's how you make a B. It's a 1 and a 3. 1-3-1-3-8? No? Don't know that?
That's
George Lucas puts that in all of his movies.
Oh, right.
Because that's the name
1-1-3-8.
Yeah, 1-1-3-8.
Okay.
So, like, I've heard people say that that's what that is. That
works,
BB-8. I don't know if that's true. But
it's a nice coincidence.
It's a nice coincidence.
I've
also heard that on the binoculars that Poe uses in the opening scene, that's one of the number readouts.
Mm. Well, even Finn's.
His
Princess Leia's cell number, stuff like that. So
yeah, so it's fun stuff like that. And who knows about all the numbers in the background that nobody's looked at.
There's just so much stuff they've been putting in there.
That's always a fun little trick, though.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I'm I'm cautiously optimistic, but then again, I was cautiously optimistic for Star Trek 2009 as well. Mm. I am, and so that's again why I'm happy that Abrams is not directing the next one.
Yeah.
He's a good director.
I do not trust.
You just have to put him in the right role, yeah, in the right position, and that's not a slight against him. It shows just that he's good at some things, not others. Like, yeah, you don't hire comedic directors to, yeah, do Schindler's List, right? Yeah.
He's not, I think Richard Whittaker put this, like, he's a one-trick pony. I wouldn't say he's a one-trick pony. That might be a little extreme, but he is limited in what he can do.
Like, he's a master of, like, manipulating nostalgia. Let's, yeah, be serious. That's what,
oh, yeah.
That's what his gift is. Yeah. And, yeah, you put him in the right place, he'll make a damn good movie.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's great. Rogue One's coming.
Yep.
Not really excited for Rogue One. You know why?
Why?
Because it's the story of how they got the Death Star plans.
Yeah.
That's what it is, right?
It's the first one, right? Not the second one.
The first one, yeah. The first one. So it's right before Episode 4. Mm-hmm. And sure, that's great and all, but that's Dark Forces, you know? That's, yeah, Kyle Katarn, and that's Dark Forces.
Yeah.
And someone who... it's sad, yeah, because, like, he was such a badass, and he's been, you know, the main character of so many games, and yeah, to just see, it's like, oh, yeah, no, now we have this new group of people, and I'm like, oh...
I don't know why people are thinking it's gonna have Bothans in it, because Bothans was the second one. They never mentioned, yeah, that in the first one. But anyways,
yeah,
yeah.
And then what's next? The Boba Fett one, and the Han Solo
spinoff.
One?
Yeah. First it's Rogue One, then it's Episode 8, then it's the Han Solo spinoff, then it's Episode 9, I think.
So. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's just like I don't need that young Han Solo thing.
No,
Boba Fett. I mean, you can do Boba Fett. Sure, why not?
They've already kind of ruined the character for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, the original voice actor.
Oh, when they dubbed all that over,
yeah,
with the new one
was.
Whatever, but.
I mean, I can understand, but I can understand George Lucas did that for continuity's sake, but, like, then make him say the stuff like the other guy did. Like,
yeah.
Make him emote what the other guy did, because, like...
It was already, like, a digitally gravelly voice you couldn't have told anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. So there's that, but I think, like, if you wanted to make a movie, like, why didn't you make a Darth Vader movie?
Yeah.
Show us Darth Vader... you know, in between,
yeah,
3 and 4.
Dark Force, not the Dark Force, the Force, Force Unleashed stuff. Doesn't have to be that, but like...
I keep hoping that the Force Unleashed is going to happen in Star Wars Rebels, and I think it will. Because they're working their way through the bad guys. We've done the Grand Inquisitor, now this season we've done Vader and, who just whooped them, yeah, Vader, and now it's like the rest of the Inquisitor Order coming after him, so it's numbers instead of power. And, yeah, no, that means, so next season, give me Vader's Secret Apprentice. That's all I want.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Well, if they're going to do a Vader spinoff, as you're saying, like, if they were to do that, give us the Vader that Kylo Ren idolizes.
Yeah, sure.
Do that. Like, if you did that, then, like, I honestly, in my opinion, like, I love Kylo Ren's character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the really guys, like, I really, really like him for this potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there's, like you said, there's kind of his power level kind of fluctuates throughout the movie.
In a very weird kind of way.
Yeah, but, like, I love his character, and, like, I mean, you've heard that fan theory that, like, he's to complete what Vader did, like, he's purposely fallen to the dark side so he can destroy it from the inside, and that...
Yeah, that's what was that? Dark Empire?
Yeah.
That's the comic book series, yeah, where Luke does the exact same thing.
I mean, if that is, I wouldn't mind it. Doesn't have to be.
No.
But, like, I like his character regardless, but, like, yeah, I mean, if you should show the Vader that he idolizes, why he wants to be like Vader. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so, there's interesting, like, I certainly don't hate Kylo Ren at all. Like, as a character, I mean, like, sure, he's a bad guy, he's an asshole, and he deserves to get his ass kicked, but, like, as a, like, I wasn't like, oh, God, this guy, he's so boring.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, huh, okay. I'm open to it.
Yeah.
Like, here's totally, totally off the topic, but, mm-hmm, like, one of my favorite RPGs is Tales of the Abyss, right?
Yeah.
The main character, Luke Von Fabre, is the whiniest bitch, the most entitled piece of crap,
yeah,
for like 16 hours. But But he has to be that way so that when stuff goes bad and it's his fault and it's so bad, like, his friends do desert him. The entire party gives up on him. And, you know, then the rest of the game is him trying to not be him, trying to be an actual good person. So, like, I'm all for character arcs. I can absolutely despise a character, and if he needed to be despised in order for the character arc to work, then so be it. I am on board 100%. I don't have to think every character's like, oh, the badass or whatever. And there was certainly character in Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Like, he was a character with multiple facets. Mm. He wasn't a blank slate. He wasn't Dooku, who was just this dude.
Yeah.
Evil.
Who apparently has the most interesting stuff about him happened before we ever met him.
Yeah.
So. But yes, that is, I don't know if this is, I guess, kind of a review of episode Star Wars Episode 7. We're in 2016 now, full in. Ooh, whole new year.
Yep.
And stuff to look forward to. But I guess that's about it for the Wayward Podcast for this episode. Don't know what music we're going to go out on. I'll think of something. I'd like it to be Star Wars related. Probably won't be. There's
like
very little in
copyright
Japanese. Thing. Yeah, well, there's very little in Japanese music that is Star Wars related. So, anyways.
That's very true.
Yeah. I try to keep...
Although, I'll say this. The Imperial March. Everybody knows the Imperial March, right? Dun, 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 dun. The Japanese love using that. And the thing is, they always play it like showing their parliament.
Yeah.
On the news program. Like, you'll be watching the news, and it'll be like, today a bill passed, and you have the Imperial March playing. And it's like...
Are you implying something?
Are you guys... Nah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's funny. Star Wars music showing up in the background of totally non-Star Wars related things. Super common on Japanese TV. Has been for decades.
Yeah. I've had
so funny
Star Trek music show up and just Best of Both Worlds when the Borg show up.
Yes, I've seen that in TV too. Right? Like, just news segments or on variety shows, and you're like, what the hell are you doing?
The AD must love it, like, must be a fan.
I don't know, it's great, but that's one of those things. So,
but anyways, this has been the Wayward Podcast. I'm Toshi.
And I'm Richard.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.